Lord is with you and is keeping you. Shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
All right, can we quickly do something? Can we stand to our feet? Let's just rise to our feet. Quickly, if you have your Bibles, open to the book of Colossians chapter 1. I want us to take a few words of confession. The book of Colossians chapter 1. We read this one last time. I want to just read it and then we'll take a few confessions and I'll start the teaching for today. Remember, we are on the second part of our teaching, how to deal with the devil in your life. Before we get into the teaching, let's just read this from verse 13. Let's read it together. Verse 13. We'll read the verses 13 and 14. Let's go. 1, 2, go. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He said he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I want to just declare again today, say in the name of Jesus Christ, I have been delivered from the domain of darkness. Please say like you believe it, in the name of Jesus Christ. I have been delivered from the domain of darkness. Now I reside and I'm a citizen of the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom I have redemption. My sins are forgiven. Say it, all things are passed away. I've been delivered from the curse of Noah. What am I referring to there? I've said it before. He said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants he will be. And that are extended to many more people beyond the person Canaan. So what he's saying is that you are not destined to be a servant. So when I say you have been delivered from the curse of Noah, that's what I mean. Say it again. I have been delivered.
I am delivered.
I am no longer a servant.
I am a son.
I am seated above.
Above
every work of the devil.
I am seated above.
Above sickness.
Above
premature death. Say like you believe it. Above poverty.
Above
failure.
Above
premature death. I say it again. I am
seated above.
Because I was buried with Christ. And I was raised with him.
And
I'm seated with him,
far above principalities and powers,
far above every work of the devil. Say, in Christ Jesus, I have been set free. This just came to my mind. Say,
I can do all things
through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things
through Christ who strengthens me.
I can walk above sin.
I can walk above unbelief.
That is very important. It's very important. You know, some of the things that Satan tries to challenge you. In fact, that's the main thing he tries to challenge. That is our faith. It's important for us to declare that we walk in faith all the time. Say it. I walk above unbelief.
I walk above unbelief.
I walk by faith.
I walk by faith.
Faith in the word of God.
Faith in the Lord
Jesus Christ.
Therefore,
I'm a victor.
I'm a
winner.
I'm above
alone.
I am
not beneath. Let's say this again. I'm above every curse. Because I've been delivered from the kingdom of darkness.
I am above every curse.
I am not cursed.
No Satan can afflict me.
The ancestral curses have been removed from my life. Now I am free.
I am free to serve God.
I am free to succeed.
I am
free to live long.
I am
free to enjoy my life.
I am
free to walk in righteousness.
I'm
not under bondage.
I'm
not bound to any habit.
I'm
not bound to any habit of iniquity.
I am free.
Say it,
I am free.
See, it's important. That last thing I said, if anybody is here, you are bound to any habit. Maybe cigarettes, it's drugs, anything. I declare you free in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, the truth is that you have been delivered. You see, as we go on today, deliverance, once you believe in Christ Jesus, you have been delivered. Listen, once you believe, you see, you know, I was listening to Ken Higgins as I was driving up here. And, you know, as if the Lord wanted me to hear that particular part. I listen to him a lot these days, all right? Anyway, he's somebody I've listened to a lot for a very long time. And then today, in recent times again. So, but today again, he was talking about resisting fear. You understand? And he said something, I'll say it as we go on in the teaching. You know, because he was sick, so seriously sick as a young boy. And then when he became healed, he said, even as a preacher, fear used to follow him about. You wouldn't know that. Maybe he comes to preach, you go home, you sit down. It's as if fear will sit down beside him. And then you know you can fall sick again. You can be bedridden. They will have to feed you all the problems you suffered. I said the thing will be gripping him. Then that day he got a hold of a book. Along the line, he discovered something in the book. And he was so excited. It was 2 a.m. He didn't even have to pray about the fear. He said he just looked around. The fear was gone. He was so excited. He was running all over the room. 2 a.m. Why? Because he discovered something. What the devil tries to do is to keep us in ignorance. He tells you that, you know, cigarette smoking is addictive, which is not a lie. But he now tells you that, you know, you have been addicted, you can never stop it. I've come to tell you again today, it is not true. Do you hear what I said? What did I say?
It is not true.
Truth is relative. When I say it's relative, there are things that are true in the life of people in prison with Joseph, but in his life, it's a lie. You will die here. Many people died there. You don't know that? Many people wrongly imprisoned. And as I was driving down just now, I saw a truck, you know, SAS vehicle, carrying some 3 young men. They were handcuffed to each other. I said, my God. One of them looked, I said, are you sure this guy is a criminal? You know, just looking. I prayed for them as they drove past. I just prayed, I said, Lord, if anyone amongst these boys is innocent, let him be freed. I prayed also, for the one who are not innocent, my faith not carry any other thing. I just said that if you can repent, have mercy and forgive. That's what I just said, all right? But why I remember that is that many people have been wrongly killed. Joseph was wrongly in prison. And he was not the only one. Many people died in the prison even though they were wrongly put there. So in their case, injustice killed them. But in the case of Joseph, injustice only elevated him to his throne. Are you getting my point? So what is true in one person's life is not true in the life of the other person. So be careful when you are reading medical statistics. These days, I'm just tired of science, the way they don't, the way everybody is confused. They tell you, global warming, global warming, global warming. Atlanta is frozen over. Atlanta has a lot of Nigerians because it's generally a very warm place. Now, my friend sent me a message. He said, oh boy, Atlanta and Alaska, they sound alike, don't they? He said, now they look alike. He said, I should go and check the pictures. I said, look, I said, maybe the world is getting, the globe is getting warm, apart from America. That's what I told the guy. I said, oh boy, I said, true, there's global warming, but it does not involve America. What I'm trying to say is that sometimes you hear what they think, say it's true, but forget that truth. It depends on who it jams. Do you understand my point? If Jesus has forgiven you, he has also broken your addiction. That thing, I just feel like telling somebody, your addiction has been broken. I didn't hear the amen well.
Amen.
What Satan tries to do is to lie to people, say, don't worry, you are not addicted. Even if it's heroin. Heroin is, medically speaking, the truth in the arena is that it's seriously addictive. But I tell you, if in Christ Jesus you abide, the power of that addiction over your life has been broken.
Amen.
I didn't hear the amen well.
Amen.
Say it on behalf of somebody out there.
Amen.
Addiction is broken in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
What Satan tries to do is to force people into a habit. Habits that will destroy them. And then when Jesus is delivering the person, say, no, don't worry, you can't be delivered. And once they believe that lie, they can't be delivered. Listen, the truth is that you not only can be delivered, if you are of faith in Christ Jesus, you have been delivered.
Amen.
You may not have known it until now. I've come here once again to tell you today, you have been delivered.
Amen.
Declare it, I have been delivered,
I have been delivered.
For every from every negative habit by the power of the blood of Jesus. Say, I have been delivered from recurrent sicknesses. Sometimes they will tell you that when it gets cold, you become asthmatic. You know, there's a story about your life that has been told again and again. Let me declare it to you again today, you have been delivered.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say you have been delivered.
Amen.
Say it loud, I have been delivered.
From every sickness,
I have been delivered
from failure.
Say it, I have been delivered
from failure
in the name of Jesus.
One
of the major problems, all right, with failing in life is that it creates fear of success. That is, people are afraid to dare anything. That is why Jesus, the Bible says, like this concerning him, that he came to liberate those who, from because of the fear of death, have been held in bondage all their lives. There are those that listen, you give them one small salary, they are very happy. They want something bigger. They know they can do better. But the last two businesses they started, oh boy, by the time they were through, they were in debt. So right now, they're not trying anything again. They won't try anything again. That fear is not your portion in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
I said that fear is not your portion in the name of Jesus. Peter Daniels, who I speak of once in a while, in his own case, he failed, I think, 3 or 4 times. Finally, he succeeded. They said, how did you feel all that while? He said, no, I was just discovering what I could do. That is, all the other ones, they were not my line. So I found out by trying them and failing in them. And he asked his wife, how did you feel all those days? The lady said, he said it was going to be all right. I just believed him. He said everything was going to be all right. The testimony of him that I like is that he consulted for a company for 10 minutes and they paid him $1 million. That's how successful he became. Listen, no matter how many times you have failed before, I said success is already your portion.
Amen.
This is your year of fruitfulness.
Amen.
Declare, say this. Say it, this.
This
is my year
of fruitfulness.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Listen, as Christians, we are not doing wishful thinking. I think, let me explain it again. What we are doing is that we are giving direction to life. You hear what I said?
Yes.
You know, was it you that was telling me or Israel? They said Bishop Wedekpo said something. Was telling people that, listen, you give the way I give, you do everything I do, but you don't say what I say. When you don't say what I say, you don't experience what I experience. I remember when I was in university, then one of my classmates, I didn't know I talked so much. He stopped me one day, said, do you know it's not wise to be talking foolishly? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you talk as if God is your own alone. Do you know that interesting thing? That fellow grew up to become an atheist. He doesn't believe in God now. And I said to him, this God is big enough for everybody. You take your portion. I have taken my portion. The one that is remaining, after Banky takes his portion. You know, yesterday my son was telling me, he got some books, so he was just excited, telling me everything. Daddy, did you know this? Daddy, did you know? After I said, listen, I know what I'm doing right now. Stop disturbing me. He told me that, do you know that infinity plus infinity is equal to infinity? Do you know infinity plus 1 is equal to infinity? Infinity multiplied by 4 is equal to infinity. Now, let's talk the other way. Infinity minus 10,000 that you have taken from him is remaining what? Infinity. No matter what you have taken from God, the God that is remaining is as big as the one that was there before you took anything. So I told my classmate that day, I said, listen, I've taken my portion. There's enough to go around. Why was he angry with me? Because, we're third-year medical students. Our second MB was coming up. And we're going to write the exam. And I was going around telling everybody, say, this exam, I'm going to tear it to shreds. I'm not going to fail. It's not possible. I will not fail. That is, I went around. I look back now. Anyone's have been training. I didn't have any doubts in my mind. I wasn't trying to speak as if, like, let me confess so that I can pass. No. I just said, I'm not going to fail. How can I fail? It's not possible. Jesus is on the throne. I will not fail. I just, I kept on shouting everywhere. One day I spoke, he got angry. He walked away. What is wrong with you? You people just be talking as if God is only for you alone. Listen, I didn't fail. What did I say? I did not fail. Even when God had to work a miracle, when people accusations. You know what they call accusations? Accusations are always rising up against you when people are angry with what you are doing. Because you need to fail for them to feel justified. People think, those are the real witches that are after you, not all those people that you don't know. People that are just angry. So maybe because of all those accusations, God had to work a miracle for me, one of my exams. It was a subject I loved least amongst all of them, biochemistry. The day of the exam, after we finished our MCQ in the morning, afternoon was essay, I just sat down. And something in me said, look, have you read this particular thing? I said, oh, no, I haven't. I got up and read it. As soon as I finished, something came. Then what about the other one? I read the other one. Then what about this one? 3 of them, I read it like that. The night before, I was leaving the class, I saw something. I said, I've not read this. So they taught us, I forgot about it. I just got a handout from somebody and read it. Making 4 in the last few hours. I walked into the exam. I was supposed to answer 5 questions. Those 4 were standing there looking at me like this. Do you understand my point? When I was going for my postgraduate part 1, the same thing happened. It just became a habit. Say, this exam, come on, we're going to tear it to pieces. I'm going to shred it. I'm going to crush it by the power of God. We can't feel it. I can't. So the day before I went, there was a Bible class I attended. He said, any testimony? I said, yes, I have a testimony. What is it? I said, I'm going for my exam next Monday. And I just want all of you to know, the examiner that will tell me I didn't pass has not been born. Hey! My friend Topsy said, Banky has come. God in heaven said, no, this boy has put me up somewhere.
I must not be put to shame. The question number one was the last question I would have expected. Last. That's how I slept one night. And I dreamt that I went to the exam. And somebody delayed me. And I went in late. No, that I went in late. Okay? And then they gave me question. The paper, I just turned it over. Question number one. I just saw the topic of question number one. The rest were not clear. Four questions. Postgraduate West African College. So they gave me, I asked another one in the dream. I checked it again. Question number one. I saw the heading. I didn't see, couldn't see two, three, four. I asked for a third one. You understand? The same thing. I said, what is going on? Then I woke up. That was the end of the dream. I said, what's going on? So I took that subject and I read it thoroughly. The day of the exam, as I was going to the exam hall, I saw an old secondary school classmate, HSC actually. What are you doing here? Oh, he's not doing medicine. I said, okay, I'm a postgraduate student here. I just came to take my exam. Because of that discussion, because I usually just go into the exam hall just before it starts. I don't mill around much. All right? Because of that, I went in late. Just as it was in that dream. When they finally gave us the question papers, I opened it, question number one. Right? And they don't let me not bore you with the details, all right? But it was just what I saw, all right? Of course, this time longer in that dream. I remember the fellow beside me who happened to be a Muslim. Somebody asked me, say, if a non-Jew had sacrificed like the Jews in Egypt, would the firstborn have died? I said, no. The angel didn't care whether you are a Muslim, Hindu, just show me blood. Did you understand my point? This guy believed what I said. He read it and he passed. Because I told them, look, this was what I said. In fact, when I go back to the office, say, hey, Joseph, you don't come. Any other dream for us? Because another exam was coming up. God had to do that and many more things to ensure that that word did not fail. I can't give you the details, but that thing was crucial for certain reasons, all right, to my passing the exam. So when we're declaring, we're not just trying to feel good. Life responds to what we see. Are you getting my point? That's why I say it all the time. Listen, by now you should be able to write this scripture in 10 different languages. Isaiah chapter 66 verse 12. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Listen, this is once in a while I remind myself, I just declare that scripture. If I just want money to flow, I just declare for a few days, money will flow. You know why? Life responds to the power of the words. Are you getting my point? So when I was saying, say this, we're not saying feel happy. Let's just psych ourselves. Let's heal the heart of the daughters of the people of God slightly by saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. No, we are saying the words of peace that we declare, we command peace into our lives. That's what we are saying. So say it again, I am free. Free from poverty,
free from failure,
free from sicknesses,
free from premature death.
I'm free from fear. Say that. I'm free from every form of addiction. In the name of Jesus Christ. Declare that colorful, bright. Say colorful, bright. That's my destiny. And I'm stepping into it. In the name of Jesus. Say one more time, this is my year of fruitfulness. Therefore, I command fruitfulness. Come to me in the name of Jesus. Say it, open doors. That's my portion in the name of Jesus. Say favor. That's my portion in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Father, we give you thanks. Just give God thanks in your own words. Just say, Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
While you are saying amen, please quickly take your seats. Let's study the word of God. Remember, it's our prayer seminar. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
If you are awake, say amen.
Amen.
If you are very awake, say louder, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I want to be sure I'm not alone here and there are people here with me. All right, let's continue our teaching. We began it last time. That's how to deal with the devil in your life. I began to teach that last time, and we said the number of things. Then, one of the first points we made, which I'd like to tell people again and again, is that the devil is not as powerful as we often try to make him appear. You understand?
People are so afraid of the devil as if they are only existing because he hasn't noticed them. That, are you getting my point? So they try to hide from him. Listen to me. If Satan could kill you, he would have done it. If he could have stopped you from giving your life to Christ, he would have stopped it. The reason why he didn't stop you from giving your life to Christ was because he couldn't. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's a matter of fact. He doesn't have the kind of power that people try to make it appear as if he has. He doesn't have it. If you listen, if you can listen to the message is titled "We Have Overcome." I think it's "We Have Overcome." Yes, I discussed it in there. There are certain things that Satan wants in your life. Number one thing that he wants is your faith. All right, he knows that, and most people don't realize it. They think Satan is going after their cars. He's not going after your car. No, he knows he's going after your faith. All right, and there are things that he has as his own power that he uses against people. And one of them, one of the most potent he has is the power of temptation. It's not really as if it's power itself. I'm just saying that is the method he uses. I'm not going to go into all of that now. I want to try and focus on the two things I have to say concerning that today. All right? Well, because today I want to talk. My message today is titled, "The Devil is a Liar." What did I say?
The devil is a liar.
All right, that's my message for today. The devil is a liar. All right? So anyway, just quickly let me review the things we said before. One, he doesn't have the kind of power people think he has, all right? He definitely has no power over believers in Christ Jesus. And I said that until a believer in Christ Jesus agrees with Satan, there is nothing Satan can do with the person. And that was why he had to go to Eve and talk to Eve. You know, Eve had to agree with him. Eve had to accept his suggestion. When he said that you will not surely die, Eve had to disagree with God and therefore agree with the devil for the devil to be able to do anything in their lives there. Are you getting my point? Now, the reason is that until you disagree with God, Satan has no power, all right, in your life. And we read from the book of James, chapter 4. James explains something. That's when we lust after worldly things, when we're having anger against the brethren, and those are the things that draw the devil into our lives. We summarize that by saying that submission to God is resisting the devil. It's not shouting to the devil, "I resist you." It is first and foremost submitting to God, removing the friendliness with the world. That's the issue. And Peter explained it this way, that you resist him firm in your faith. We read that from 1 Peter chapter 5. Yeah, I think the most important point I made last time, which is what I ended with, is the fact that without giving place to the devil, he cannot come into our lives. The first thing he wants when he's tempting is for us to give him space, to give him room, to give him a chance, to give him a place to stay. And when we want to drive him away, oh, we don't even want to shout to the devil, "I drive you away, go away." No, I'm talking about your personal life. Let me just say this to you again. Don't forget, Abraham did not know the devil existed. I hope you know that. Do you know that? Do you know Job, who the Bible gives us a good account of how Satan went after him, was not aware that Satan was the person after him? He wasn't aware. He just knew that things were rough. But how did the devil lose in his life? The man was steadfast in his faith. He was what?
Steadfast
in his faith. As long as he was steadfast in his faith, the Bible says, "Whom resist? Steadfast in your faith." That was how he defeated the devil. Let me say this. You don't defeat the devil by fasting and praying. No, 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 no. You don't. That is not how the devil is defeated in your life, through fasting and prayer. No. Fasting and prayer does something differently from defeating the devil in your life. What, if you like, fast from now till Jesus is 40 days, right? Okay, you do 40 times 7. Until the steadfastness of faith is found in your life, you have not resisted the devil. If you like, wake up in the morning, "I resist you, I resist you, I resist you, resist, resist you." You know, match with it. He is not resisted. What resists him is what? I didn't hear you well. That is what resists the devil. Let's get that one very clear. And I was saying that if you don't give him room, he can't stay there. Listen, this is how it goes. For Satan to stay in a place, you must have given him a space. So if you want him to go away, just remove the space. It's a spiritual law. You want him to go away, remove the space you gave him, and that's it. He will disappear. So Once we remove the space that the devil has, once we remove the space that he has, it disappears from our lives. That's what we concluded with last time, all right? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let me just read this sentence, one of the sentences we made. We said, disobedience to God is invitation to the devil. And we cannot deal with the devil until we have submitted ourselves to the Lord. In summary, how do we create space for the devil? It's by disobeying the revealed word of God. Now, I want to continue to what I want to teach today. Today I said, the title of my message is what? The devil is a liar. That's what I'm talking about today. Now, let's quickly read the book of John chapter 8 and just explain something there. The words of Jesus that we know very well. Let's just start reading from verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. That is, you don't have the ability to receive it. Why don't you have the ability? Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He said, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He said, but because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Let me stop there. That's verse 45. That's where we stop. But notice something he said about this, the devil here. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Now, let me say something here. I told this story once. When he says something in somebody's nature, it means the person can't help it. The fellow will do it. I told you that there's a joke a friend of mine told me once. I don't know whether I told you here before. About once there was a flood, and the scorpion was about to drown on a small island, and he saw a frog going past. And he begged the frog, please carry me now to, you know, higher ground. And the frog said, thank you very much. I will carry you. You will sting me. And then I will die. Sorry, I won't take that kind of risk with my life. And the scorpion said to him, think about it. If I sting you and you die, what happens to me? I drown. So I'm sure I'm not going to sting you. Just carry me. Just carry me from here to there. So the frog thought about it and said, well, that makes sense. This guy who doesn't want to die, why will he sting me? So hop on. The guy hopped on his back and he was swimming across the water. After a while, he felt one lethal sting. Bow! And he knew what had happened. The scorpion stung him. So he turned around to the scorpion. Say, but why? And like, now I'm going to die and you're going to drown. The scorpion said, I couldn't help it. It's my nature. I couldn't help it. I wasn't thinking about stinging you. It just came out of me. So what Jesus was saying is that don't even think about trusting the devil. He can't do but tell lies. Even when he wants to tell you the truth, he opens his mouth. It's a lie that comes out. Listen, people say if you want to dine with the devil, use a long spoon. Why should you dine with the devil? That's my own. No matter how long your spoon is. Because when the guy hands you the spoon, he's going to tell you it's a long spoon. What you will not know, that the spoon has no handle. You are right there in the mouth of the spoon. I don't know where you're going. If the devil gives you a long spoon, don't believe him. The spoon is short. It sounds funny. Like, is that not obvious? I'll tell you that it's not so obvious. Let me say something about what a lie is. A lie is not that which disagrees with the truth that you can see. A lie is that which disagrees with the word of God. Because if you have studied science enough, you will know that everything you see is relative. In fact, Albert Einstein came and said even time is not accurate. That time depends on the speed with which you are traveling. Let me not confuse most of you who are not used to such things. Well, for those who want to know, they say no matter how fast you are traveling, if you're in a car and your headlight is on, all right? And who knows the speed of light? Somebody say boldly. Stop whispering like my students when they don't know. If you know it, say it boldly. 3.8. I can do it. Tell me. Thank you. What's the speed of light? All these uncles, they don't chop. Thank you. Go and sit down. Where you came from? Did you hear what he said? The square root of 900 trillion. Why do you make it more complicated? These uncles are having enough headache trying to decipher 3.8 multiplied by 10 to raise to power something per meter squared. I beg, let's just leave it anyway. The boy came out to confuse us further. The Lord is good. I said, Lord is good. Anyway, this is what Albert Einstein said. If you are in a vehicle traveling at that speed and your headlight is on, the natural thing that your speed should become, the speed of that light should double, right? No, think about it. If I'm going, I throw a stone. But if I'm running, as I throw the stone like javelin, you know, it grows faster. You find that no matter the speed of the object emitting light, the speed of light does not change. I know some of you have gotten even more confused. So Albert Einstein explained that it means, therefore, time is not constant. Let's make a long story short. Everything you see in life is relative. Now, they used to argue, you know, you've heard this before, that the earth revolves, before, everybody believed that everything revolves around the earth. You've heard that before? You know, that was the former belief. But now we know, we in quote, no. I put that no in quotes, that the earth revolves around what? The sun. Recently, I read Charles Townes. He said that does not matter anymore. Not whether it's true or not. He says it's an irrelevant statement. Who revolves around what? Because everybody's revolving. You don't even know what they are revolving around. Take my word for it. One day they will find out that actually the sun revolves around the earth. But Charles Townes said, no, Charles Townes is not an idiot. He won the Nobel Prize for Physics in 1960-something. He's an old man now. The man said, look, that you know, before it's an argument, okay, they said the earth was revolving around the sun. The sun was revolving around the earth. Now it's revolving around. He said, actually, it's irrelevant. Everybody's revolving around something, and something's revolving around. That is, as the earth is revolving around the sun, so the sun is revolving around something, and so the something around, that at the end of the day, you don't know who's revolving around what. One thing you and I know, they are all revolving around God. They are revolving around the word of God. Nobody knows whether our sun is the center of our solar system or not. Nobody knows. Because you don't know the axis upon which it's spinning. If you know the speed with which you are moving now, you think you are sitting stationary. You are running through space at an incredible speed that if they gave you your speed, you'll be afraid. But you are sitting in one space, in one place for the picture. Take the picture. Don't let it not move. The camera is moving. That is why you look like you are stationary. Everybody is moving up and down. Only the word of God does not move. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is why Satan can see anything and it will be factually accurate. That is physically speaking. The only thing that tells you whether it's true or not is just at the same time, check it with the word of God. If it disagrees with the word of God, it's arrant nonsense. So anytime Satan tells something and it appears like it is the truth, just know it is a lie. Why? It is his nature. He can't help it. Has God really said? And the fellow said, God said, no, you will not surely die. And it appears as if he was telling the truth. Why? Because did they physically die that day? No. And some things even appear true also. He said, you will become like God. Even God said, they have become like one of us. But at the end of the day, everything he told them was a lie. Now, please, follow on and explain. The only reference for truth is the word of God. You know, yesterday I was reading. And I said, when I get to the office, I was in the morning, I said, I'll tell one of my colleagues that I didn't see him, that I finally found the God that you serve. I still plan to tell him. I said to him, oh boy, I have found the God that you serve. He said, well, I said, the name of that God is a goddess. It's called Athena. It's a Greek goddess of knowledge. Why? Because the person I'm referring to, once science says something, he holds it as if it is the truth. And I want to argue with him that, why are you so foolish? Can't you see these guys disagreeing with themselves all the time? You know, they tell you these days that homosexuality is an alternative lifestyle. And if you are waiting for science to prove, listen, this is the job I do. They will find the genes that cause for homosexuality. Just to prove to you that it's not anybody's fault. The fellow was born like that. Find the genes. Take me to the house of the gene. All of you sit down. Introduce me to the gene. I won't believe it. Why won't I believe it? Because the word of God makes it clear that this is what happens to people when they have departed from the knowledge of God, when they have stopped showing him gratitude. Are you getting my point? That is when he gives them over to the depravity of their minds. All I know is that this is a depravity of mind. How do I know? The scriptures say so. Paul did not know Obama was going to be president when he said it. Moses was not trying to counter Obama as president when he said it. He said these things long ago, before the great, 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 great grandfather of Obama was born. The only thing I need to prove that something is a lie is to find out that it disagrees with what God has said. In life, listen, there are things you say once in a while. Let me give you an example. A man does business, nets about 5 million naira every month. All right? And there's another man by the roadside is begging. Doesn't have much, just what he gets from begging. The world tells that that man is richer. Yeah, but God says it's not true. That a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Therefore, you know, because I understand that, I can't remember ever. It must have happened when I was much younger. Are you getting my point? But, I mean, I've been learning the scriptures now for some time. So, I can't remember in the last 20 years thinking somebody's enjoying more than me. I can't remember it. In the last 25 years, I can't remember. I can't remember. When I had to jump from one bus to the other, into another in Lagos, to move around in Lagos, I never felt somebody on that side is enjoying more than me. So what do you mean? Because the Bible says clearly, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I knew that one as a matter of fact. Anybody says differently for me, the fellow is lying. I people say that if when they tell you that money cannot buy happiness, it's because you don't know where to go shopping. Listen. Whether I like it or not, money cannot buy happiness. How do I know? It's in the scriptures. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That is why God helps me. Not today. More than, I started learning those things around 1991. I have not been able to use money is plenty or is not plenty to make a decision for my life. No. Because I realized that the truth is vanity upon vanity. All is what? Vanity. And he said it's like chasing after the wind. Once I have to move towards it, it's a lie. It's vanity. When it is necessary, it blows on me. Are you getting my point? That's it. It blows by itself when it is necessary. I'm not emphasizing the fact that the devil is what? A liar. He lies. We're talking about how to deal with the devil in your life. The devil uses, listen, two things. Okay? There are two weapons he has to try and trap believers. Number one is ignorance. He's a liar, so he can only thrive when they are ignorant. Remember I said earlier, that's last time, that the devil is like bacteria. He only thrives when the culture medium is good. Are you getting my point? Yes, he's a liar. Therefore, he only thrives where there is ignorance. Number one weapon he uses against people is ignorance. He cannot thrive where people have knowledge. He can't thrive where they have understanding. Therefore, number one thing you use to deal with the devil in your life is go after wisdom, go after understanding. He said, wisdom is what? The principal thing. Therefore, what? Get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Let me say this one to you again. I hope I don't sound like I'm criticizing people, but we have to teach the truth, even though it will hurt some people. My experience, and I said something the other day. I said, that zeal does not pray effectively. Can you remember that? I said desire does not pray effectively. I said the only thing that prays effectively is what? Knowledge.